Welcome to the Mudstack Podcast, all the fits that make news.
The whole world gone crazy! I heard Biden was a loser. I mean, look, Joe never got more than 1%.
And now, your hosts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 204th episode of the Mod State Podcast. My friend, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Glad to be here for it.
Excellent. Yeah, it's been a little bit of a hiatus due to vacation and a little bit of illness, but we're back. And listen, it is good to know. Well, I don't know if it's good to know, but it's certainly the case where you leave, but the news just never stops. And in the United States today, and I suppose the broader world, it's as if it is a relentless just gauntlet of breaking stories left and right.
Isn't it wonderful?
It's not like maybe one day I'll go on vacation and I'll come back and it's like, well, look around, like, well, I guess everything's kind of the way it was. Well, no big deal, just business as usual. But the business as usual is just one thing after another. Since being gone, Brexit's taken a bit of a turn. As we know, the Supreme Court there ruled, or I don't know if they call it the Supreme Court, but the High Court there has ruled against Boris Johnson suspending government for 5 weeks. And so who knows what the hell's going to happen there.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that leaves them, because the Queen already signed off on it. And I know that's technically a formality anyway, but yeah, I'm not really sure where this leaves them. But you went to France, and I went to flew into Baltimore. We both departed our respective areas, our comfort zones, for just the right time. It seemed like for a tipping point in Western civilization.
Jesus. Well, I can say that every day I wake up in the feed on my phone or the news bulletins, it's I just wish to go back to Bordeaux outside in the morning at a cafe, just sipping some coffee.
Well, it's exhausting after a while when you consider that regardless of one's position on the spectrum, it's just one thing after, we're past this part, we'll get a load of this.
Yeah.
There's going to be tapes and transcripts and
I guess that's kind of the thing. I mean, to be honest with you, between school and getting caught up with school, getting caught up with work, it's almost as if I've had a tough time just taking a breath, and then something like this happens, and obviously, if you've been hiding under a rock, if you don't know that there's been a whistleblower complaint, a formal whistleblower complaint lodged which was at the time to the national security IG, if it will keep me humble, but essentially this formal complaint was lodged, and now we're running down this road of getting transcripts released between the president of the United States, Donald Trump, and with the newly minted Ukrainian president, and trying to figure out if there was sort of this quid pro quo or whatever happened. And ultimately,
don't forget the part where the House of Representatives address itself.
What was that about the House of Representatives?
Filing for impeachment. Impeachment. Before even knowing what the complaint was.
Yeah, well, in right around the same time that the formal complaint, the formal impeachment inquiry was dropped, we also found out that White House counsel decided to move the transcripts to a fairly encrypted secret server. As we're finding out now, we didn't know this at the time, that they also did that with the Saudi Arabian.
You don't take any of this seriously, do you?
Well, that's the thing. I'll see if I walk through my thoughts here. So, before the,
like Alice in Wonderland, I want you to start at the beginning, and when you come to the end, stop.
Yeah. So, Nancy Pelosi put forth the formal impeachment inquiry, and then later on, and just now, we've also found out that transcripts with Saudi Arabia king, rather, and then Vladimir Putin, the dictator of Russia, were also moved to these this encrypted database. Now, what it seems as though this was sort of a move that otherwise hasn't been done before, meaning that these transcripts, because the conversations that the president has with world leaders are of public record, whether or not they are public record for the entire public to see. They may be classified, but however, they are documented. And so there would have to have been something in those two conversations with both Russia and with the Saudi Arabian king that would have warranted some sort of, there would have been some sort of classified information that would have pushed them to that server. Now, here's the thing. I have been going back and forth because I realized that I shouldn't be quick to judge the situation, as I don't know all the facts, and I don't feel like almost being suckered. Like, the way I feel is that there's a huge part of the left base that felt like the Mueller investigation really sort of failed the attempts to oust this president, and now this has landed in their lap, and they're going to milk it for all it's worth. Now, the flip side of this is there has to be some sort of public opinion and some sort of public support of this. And that's the problem that Democrats are running into right now, is whether or not there really is public support. Because if you think back to President Clinton, Newt Gingrich thought that going after Bill Clinton would be a huge gain for Republicans. And it turned out after his acquittal, it was not. And I think Nancy Pelosi, knows that as well. So, you know, it's kind of, but I think for whatever reason, her hands are tied, or she feels like there is enough support within the House that she can move forward with it. So,
well, and I'll tell you this part too. You really can't tell what her emotions are anymore.
Okay. So then there's the two sides I look at here are, okay, now there's a couple things here that I think it was the national security, the National Security Inspector General had said that the reason he hadn't released the whistleblower complaint was because this was really unprecedented territory. And
well, it is technically, if you think about it, because the president's communications, sure, they're public record, but they're also privileged.
Yes.
Well, think about it. You can't just have the president's cable available, his cables abroad available for you and I to dissect daily.
No, but they do have there are official transcripts. And of course there are. So yeah, and it does walk the line between what is executive privilege and what is not. Well, now, I think what the whistleblower is pointing out is that, listen, and this is where I say it appears, and I do this a lot. It appears a certain way, and anybody.
It appears, Nate.
But it does. Okay, so
how?
I'm going to come back on the GOP side here in a second, but
but I want you to finish the story. Okay, I want you to tell me how it appears.
The way it appears from the transcript, the raw transcript. We don't have the official transcript.
Was that bated breath.
The president of the United States. I don't want to say pressured, but certainly, a number of times was trying to get the president of Ukraine to meet up with both his attorney general and his private legal counsel, Rudy Giuliani, to investigate Joe Biden and his son in the Ukraine. And why would you do that? There's really no other reason I can think of to do that other than to find political dirt on the person that is most likely going to run against you in the presidential election in 2020. I don't really see any other reason for this that part of the conversation. But why else would he have the Ukrainian president be involved in any of that? Now, the other part of this is, yes, he did delay, if you will, the military aid that was already appropriated by Congress. Now,
well, it's also your assumption based on his intent, because that's not what his words stated.
So the one thing is, I am not linking the delayed military aid to the sort of quid pro quo. I'm not going that far.
No, I get that.
I'm just saying that did happen. It did happen.
I acknowledge that.
And what but the, what the conversation is, that's not
the words say, though. The words themselves, though, were not indicative of a, hey, I get it. There was a bit of wink, wink. Of, hey, it'd be really great if you would investigate here, but this was not as straightforward.
No, and I'm not saying that he said you should do that. I'm saying the context of the conversation was as such. So what we're doing is we're parsing between what was actually said, like word for word, versus the context of the conversation.
What do you think his intent was?
Well, my question would be, what other intent would there be? If you're asking any foreign leader to investigate here's what I would ask. And I would ask any person supporting the president. I would say, if Joe Biden was not in contention for the presidential nominee on the Democratic Party for 2020, would he have ever asked the Ukrainian president to investigate Joe Biden and Hunter Biden?
I can't answer that.
But statistical probability in your gut feeling.
Probably not.
Probably not. Which means that if it's probably not, it probably means what would be the intent of asking that.
Well, that's also not how we convicted. It shouldn't be how
I realize that. And I realize that that's what any sort of GOP lawyer is going to say, that, well, it's, well, we can't I'm assume. I realize. And I guess what I'm, it's really the point of all these arguments I have with people who are like on the side of supporting the president. I would say that's how I would break down the conversation. If Joe Biden was not running for president, and he probably wasn't going to be the nominee, would this conversation have ever happened? Probably not.
The other side of the coin is, how much of what he asks the president of Ukraine to do is actually going to have any sort of impact whatsoever on proceedings, much less Biden's well-being politically. Now, that's not the issue here, great the farm was. I understand that. But I honestly feel like, in terms of the impact that this has, as far as the action, not the repercussions of the actions, but the actions itself, I feel like the reaction has been overblown.
Well, I think I'll agree with you there, because I think that there,
and
I will agree that I think there's a lot of people out there who are really looking for the silver bullet. They're looking for that thing
to get rid of Donald Trump.
Exactly. And they're really looking for that thing to sort of validate his cronyism, when we all know that there's probably enough stuff in court that shows he's breaking emoluments clauses, that like that'll come down the pike later. I think you'd have a better chance somewhere else, but God knows that that's going to be well beyond 2020.
Wait a minute, the president's been in legal trouble?
So
wait a minute, whoa,
believe it or not,
he's not here, man.
So I hear your point, because what I'm alluding to is that there's a number of assumptions that I'm making in what I'm saying, meaning, hey, why else, why would they have, meaning, I would say there's assumptions saying, I'm assuming that he had this conversation because Biden's probably going to be the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party, and so why else would he have this conversation?
Walk this a little farther then. Walk this a little farther down the road then. Where do you personally, where do you see this?
Well, it's a non-starter. Like, it's not, he's not going to be impeached by the Senate. That's not happening.
Well, no. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, like, do you think the House is even going to do it?
Well, that's a good question.
Because an inquiry doesn't mean there's going to be an impeachment.
No. And I think this, you know, there's a number of things that were brought up, like, hey, when we did this with Bill Clinton, it took 2 months.
Yeah, so where do you see this in? Where do you see this in the next 6 weeks?
I mean, there'll be a formal inquiry. But the problem the issue is now what they need to do is get evidence, right? So they need to subpoena people. They need to subpoena documents. And that's just going to drag out. And if there's anything that shows us how well subpoenas have worked with the Trump administration, or those people who are fairly loyal to Trump, how well that's worked out in the past, isn't as clear as how streamlined this is going to be. However, what I will say is that there are a number of people in the orbit who are trying to distance themselves, because there hasn't been, there obviously there is no special prosecutor here. A lot of this is just breaking right now. It's breaking every seems like every hour there's a new development in the story.
Breaking everything.
So as these developments break, I think there's more and more people saying, listen, I don't think he's going to get impeached. However, I just don't want to be dragged into this. I don't, because there, I think there's less places to hide. There's less places to, it really is a lot of investigative journalism. There's this complaint. It's way more free flowing, if you will, than the Mueller investigation.
Well, and here's, I was about to, it's funny, interesting you bring up Mueller, because I was about to bring that up. That is what your first instinct is, hey, we've already got a playbook, right? Well, forget the fact that collusion, A, is not a legal term. It's, you know, there's no judicial action on collusion. B, that was actually discarded. We basically came to the conclusion that there wasn't collusion, right? Well, then I started looking back over the hearings and going back through the redacted PDF of that document that I have. And it struck me, both sides made this point, Democrats and Republicans made this point at one another, but the song remains the same. That document was heavily based on evidence sourced in the media, the Mueller report. So I would think that a savvy political fox like a Speaker Pelosi is going to want to have more to pin the hopes of impeachment to than the ravings of the Huffington Post.
Yeah. And look, I guess what I'm coming back to after that sort of emotional rant about the what ifs or the assumptions of that conversation, at the bottom line is you have to have evidence. You have to have some sort of precedent. There has to be legal proceedings, and if you can't really convict somebody,
will there actually be an impeachment vote in the House?
I don't think so.
You don't think it'll come to a vote?
No.
Will it leave committee?
I think it will leave.
I guess.
I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be tied up in committee. I mean, I guess it could go. I mean, ultimately, Pelosi has to have support for it, right? Because that would look pretty effing stupid if it went to the floor. And it could. I'm just saying, even if it got to the point in the House where they're going to go to a vote, I know that Pelosi's. She's a war hawk, man. She's been doing this for a while. She saw what happened in the Bill Clinton impeachment. She saw that turn on
so
Republicans.
How does she maintain now, though? Because she stoked the fires of the "we're going to impeach the MFer" crowd. She stoked that fire. Now it's not necessarily.
I don't think that she stoked the fire. I think she.
I think. Okay, you don't think maybe she let a little bit of blood into the shark tank?
She might have, but I think this is certainly a weaker position. I think she realizes that the president is in a weaker position in this instant than he is probably with the Mueller investigation, meaning there's less to hide behind. There's less allies, if you will. He doesn't have people going to bat for him the same way he does this. This is pretty much his conversation, what his legal counsel did with it, and the complaint. There's less... There's less support around him for this.
The problem with that is that weakens daily. Every day the American people have possession of that, which they already do. Every day that gets weaker.
Sure, but
the man is brazen about whether you think he's right or wrong. He's brazen about it.
No, it's true. The propaganda spin, whether it's right or wrong, is happening and will sway hearts and minds.
That portion, I don't care what anyone thinks.
Yep.
The administration, the level of intelligence, whatever. The marketing there is genius.
Yes. Now, here's what I think Nancy Pelosi might have been thinking. I think she goes, let's go ahead with the formal inquiry, because that has to happen. And ultimately,
investigative tools.
Yeah. So ultimately, she still has the decision to make on whether or not she will actually move forward with impeachment or not. Right. So I think what she's doing is she's like, well, screw it. Like, let's do the formal. But I think she says, I think there's enough here, especially with the complaint and the actions that were taken in the potential context of the conversation, that we need to open the inquiry and let's see where this leads us. And if it doesn't lead us in the direction where, I mean, she is a political chess player, just like Mitch McConnell is. She's not, I don't think she's just doing this haphazardly. I think
she knows inevitably, short of Mitt Romney, there's no Republican support whatsoever for this over in the Senate.
No.
You know, and I'm not sure what it would take. I know he's not a senator, but when Jerry Falwell Jr., the head of Liberty University.
Oh, God, that happened.
When he can look deadpan at the mainstream media when asked, is there anything that Donald Trump could do to cost him his support with you and your followers?
And he says
no. And he thought for a full beat, and then Jerry Falwell Jr. said no.
No. Which means there is nothing that the president could do.
You know, I was talking to my brother-in-law. You know, what if he said what John Lennon said about, man, the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ? They would find a way to defend it.
I know.
They would. They would say, you know what? He sure is more. We need more Jesus, but Donald Trump is more popular than Jesus Christ.
And there's sort of the sort of unintelligent support of Donald Trump out there is, like one of the guys. There was a guy that was interviewed on the street that said, well, that's, you know, like it might be, it kind of sounds wrong, but that's just what he does. You know, that's just what he does. So we're going to continue to support him.
And then there's also very intelligent support for him in terms people that agree with the fiscal agenda. I mean, I happen to agree with cutting the highest corporate income tax rate in the world, because that doesn't just affect Walmart, that affects the small magazines as well.
I guess I'm saying it isn't that it's I think it's the ideology. That's intelligent. It's the bending over backwards for the arguable, almost unarguable, just kind of asshole that occupies the White House. And I think that even what those supporters say, like, well, yeah, he's an asshole, man, but you know, it's just who he is. It doesn't matter what he does.
Veering away from what I think of the indecorous actions flowing out of the executive branch. It brings me kind of full circle to someone that you and I both share equal parts admiration and inspiration we draw from Dr. Jordan Peterson, who has really, some of his segments really made me give a second look to his idea that ideologues, not saying they're bad people, but the existence of ideologues is bad because there's no pragmatism. It's, hey, we've got to have agreement in this circular firing squad, regardless of, because we all, what's going on with the DNC, what went on with the GOP in 2016. And that brings me to also, I don't know if you know this or not, but his wife is terminal, Dr. Peterson.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She's got terminal cancer. And so he's checked himself into a facility here in the last several days for treatment for antidepressants and anxiety dealing with this, and he's been very, very public about it. So I just thought I'd mention that as a shout out to him as well. My personal prayers are with him and his family, but also we wish him a speedy recovery. And I think he's somebody to keep in mind here, though. Maybe we could put something of his in the show notes, because I don't know, his whole discussion, you and I both watched these lectures that he's given on ideologues and how dangerous. I mean, if it's not apparent now, I don't know what it can be more.
Yeah. Jordan Peterson's and of course any spouse that's passing away is awful. I mean, I'll to clarify, there certainly are a lot of things that I remember. I first heard Peterson on Joe Rogan. There was quite a bit of the sort of self-help stuff that I really enjoyed. There's been some stuff that I've been like raising my eyebrows at, but ultimately I think whether you like him or not, he's certainly
Someone that you and I both intellectually admire.
Yeah, I would say he's certainly thought provoking. Just like I think someone like Sam Harris is thought provoking and a lot of other folks. So, but yeah, I guess not to stray off track too much in terms of like ideology, et cetera. You know, I've always looked back to the studies that are out there that show that if you are so beholden to an ideology, like not scientific, well, I mean, I guess it sort of could be, but in sort of like a philosophical, political, theology, ideology, that you actually are more susceptible you're more susceptible to
manipulation, for one.
Yeah, manipulation and sort of the falsities that are out there. You're more inclined to believe things and be manipulated by things.
You're going to, you've got confirmation bias out the wazoo.
And I guess that I mean that goes. I'm not pointing at the right particularly, because you can certainly have it on the left. I think it doesn't matter what thing you believe in. If you believe in something so strongly, you are more inclined to be manipulated. Which I know there's people that give centrists. I think there's centrists get a lot of shit because they are not principled. However, that's one reason I like being a centrist, is because I feel like I'm less vulnerable to manipulation and confirmation bias. So I'm always checking myself. But anyway, that's a shout out to me, and that's not.
No, you, good, but... Nate, you're a good fellow centrist to have, because and that's one of the great things that we've had, you know, with this show, but also with our friendship, is keeping each other honest and stuff like this. Because I remember us having discussions before, and it's like, all right, dude, no, seriously, everybody else is away. It's just you and me now. Let's talk sense now.
Yeah. Well, so moving kind of back on track to where we were talking about this new journey down possible Trump scandal.
And down the rabbit hole?
Down the rabbit hole. And I think a lot of this will ultimately come down to public pressure slash opinion. And then, of course, it's no better time for this to happen. And ultimately, it is a drop into the left's lap. I mean, it is, if they certainly want to run with something, this is it. Like, the president does this stuff to himself. It whether or not you think it was a completely honorable conversation, talking to the president of another country about investigating a potential political rival is something that you probably just shouldn't have done.
I just want to go on record of saying I didn't comment one way or the other.
I'm just saying it. If you don't want scrutiny and like actual like, hey, is this an ethics violation? You probably don't do that.
I wouldn't have had the conversation
at all. You don't have that conversation.
I would have had that by proxy.
Exactly. You don't have that conversation. You let
that conversation.
Let your politics be scrutinized. And I guess it's just politics are being scrutinized, but his political policy be scrutinized. Let his, like, that's what you want scrutinized. Not this one-off conversation. Like, hey, look, you know, God, Joe Biden, Hunter, I know that's sort of weird. Like, you go ahead and investigate. I'm gonna get Giuliani, my attorney general. You talk to him; they'll handle it. Like, well, let's figure it out. There's no reason to have that conversation. I'm sorry. I'll go back to it over and over. Why else would you have that conversation?
Maybe it was out of concern, you know, because he had heard that Joe was having memory problems.
Anyway, I feel like we're at kind of an impasse here, because there. No. We're kind of at an impasse here because ultimately we don't know where this goes, and there is not much more to talk about in terms of the facts.
I apologize to our audience for kind of diverting us to this path to begin with, but we felt we had to, given the lapse here, and there's a couple episodes that we want to put off that fill in the gap in time in which we've been away, but we've had some technical issues. It was with a guest subject, but yeah, the reality is we had to touch on this, because regardless of one's stance, whether you're on the North Pole, libertarian, South Pole, authoritarian, left or right, you know, liberal, conservative, doesn't matter where you fall, okay? This has been an extraordinary, unorthodox, bizarre, Disneyland on a permanent acid trip time in American history.
100%. I mean,
we can't get, there is no escape.
It will be virtually unexplainable to my grandchildren.
I will try and help you explain it to them, as I don't see me having any.
I will almost just reference them back to the last fifth. Well, since 2017, shit. 204.
You could just listen to our podcast.
I was going to say, just go back and listen to 204 episodes of the Mod State podcast, and that's the only way you're really going to immerse yourself in the craziness that this has been.
Do you know
how
proud of you they're going to be?
Maybe. I don't know.
Dude, think about it. Like, you're going to be great for their term papers.
I guess. Mod State, Grandpa, well, on Mod State podcast episode 100.
Yeah, man. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. It's awesome.
Well, so what else has happened in the last couple weeks that I've been gone? It seems that, I should say, the reality is that everything that would have been important to talk about almost, like, do you realize that in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I literally have to jog my memory for any policy discussion that...
It's a Joshua moment, you know, of choose you this day whom you shall serve, you know, type, because this man has sucked the oxygen out of the room. It's always about, I mean, even a press conference on things like what should be a positive of the newly tweaked trade deal with Japan and the trade deal that we're expecting, I mean, I suppose any day now with the UK, the positive things that have gone on. The media is getting scolded for not talking about it, but we're going, because this nonsense had to rear its ugly head. It's like immediately after one investigation is seemingly wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And folks, I'll prepare you in advance for the image that I'm going to put up for this episode. It's got to be one of the most awkward looking political photos of modern times. Where it shows the Ukrainian president sitting, and he looks as though he's sitting on a cactus.
I think I know this picture.
Lean forward. I'm sure you've already seen it. He's leaned forward in this black suit, you know, as if somebody is poking him in the middle of the back, almost wincing, while President Trump is sitting there holding court. And I'm going, God almighty, you just can't help yourself, can you?
It's got to be a weird time to be a world leader. It's got to be. It has to be.
It's like, seriously, it's the whole, and I love our New York listeners, I do, but you know what I'm talking about. It's that whole bad publicity is better than none mentality. It's like, as long as the conversation centers around that Hollywood drama, then it doesn't matter what the conversation is.
Well, and again, there's only a few celebrity type, because that's what our president is. He's a celebrity. He's not really a president. He's that's what he always has been.
The greatest troll ever lived.
I will give it to you that if anything gets taken from this presidency is that he is the greatest manipulator of bad press.
He's the greatest troll ever lived. He's the greatest. He's able to shift the news cycle no matter what. He's going to suck the wind out. I mean, dude, what a time. Think about some of the names that have run for president for the Democratic Party. Think about names like Mitch Landrieu that we thought were going to run that haven't run, and nobody's even really had the oxygen to spare.
Well, to discuss this. Maybe this is an interesting thing to just take the last couple minutes of this episode to talk about is the number of states that have basically just shut down their primaries. Meaning
the GOP's basically decided they're not doing.
They've just hijacked it all. There's no voting like it's vote run independent. Or Trump. I mean,
if you love America, I think you know what you got to do.
Well, I think that's right, man. I think that's right. But, I think Alaska's done it. I have to go. I think there's like 10 states right now that are effectively the whole of support. And what's interesting is to see how the last 3 years have really evolved, where there really was almost no support for this president who we didn't think he was going to be the president. And all of a sudden, he really has almost unanimous support. I think that the question is, is it because of policy or is it because they realize, or meaning the Republicans realize that they really don't stand a chance of reelection without this guy's support? And which may not inherently be true for all of them, but I think they realize that, listen, I'm on his side.
Well, look, you're on to something. They've realized they've already selected their hill.
Yeah.
They have to die on it. We're not.
Yeah.
That's the reality. Because even if he loses, if they want that third of the part of the vote that didn't come out otherwise and wouldn't have come out otherwise and won't come out again otherwise, excuse me, he's going to be a factor going forward, tweeting, even if he loses. And if, excuse me, and if he does lose, you better pray to God it's by a landslide margin.
Yeah, that's something we can certainly talk about as...
That's another podcast, but if it's close, ooh.
Yeah.
Now, that is completely inverse to my prediction, by the way, which I'm just about ready to make. but not tonight, obviously.
I was going to say, have we made these predictions? I mean, I've made the prediction.
Haven't. We've talked about this, but let me put it to you this
way.
No,
I'm pretty sure I went on record a number of episodes ago, but I don't know that you've officially gone on record.
Don't count out Donald yet.
I've already gone on record. I don't think you've gone on record yet.
No, you feel he's more or less done.
No, I see. I went on record saying he will be.
Well, unless the economy crashes.
Even if we do hit a potentially predicted recession, which isn't as predicted now, at the end of into 2020, I still say he's reelected. Especially if this doesn't happen the way it's supposed to.
That's what I mean by done. Like he's a shoo-in. That's what I mean.
Oh, gotcha.
No, I'm. We're close, but again, we want to bring some editorial stuff alongside the info. Yeah. You'll just have to see. There's no point in wasting airtime of people wondering, well, what is he talking about? You're going to see it and enjoy.
Indeed. Well, hey, my friend, we're at 35 minutes. I don't want to keep belaboring an already speculative situation that we have.
No. But email us modstate@modstate.com.
Yep, that's modstate@modstate.com. modstate at the same thing.com. And you head over to modstate.com, of course, and then you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and yeah, just reach out to us. Of course, anywhere you can find this podcast, that'd be podomatic.com, which is our host site, but you can definitely reach out to us there, and then follow us iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, pretty much everywhere you get your podcasts. And of course, you'd like to shout out to those. It's cool to take these sort of vacation breaks and stuff like that, school breaks, and still on a number of these hosting sites and podcast sites still maintain listenership. So it's pretty neat to see that continue to happen, and that wouldn't happen without listenership and people engaging. And it's certainly an engaging time in the world. And people are looking for content, and we're just happy that you've chosen us to be part of that content pool that you lift. You listen
I agree.
To.
And thank you all for when you are here, it shows Nate that I'm not totally crazy, not completely crazy. So thank you for helping to validate at least a little bit of my madness, but in all seriousness, no, it's wonderful. It's an honor to be here doing this with you again, sir. Welcome back to the continental United States. And I look forward to reconvening soon. We'll have a bit more fine-tuned.
Indeed. Indeed. Well,
balanced.
Indeed. Well, until next time.
Au revoir. We'll see you.